हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै
ॐ
शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः स्टूडेंट शौनकास क्वेश्चन इज केप्ट इन माइंड बरिष्य अंगिरस and Angiras started answering the question through teaching. And in the second Mundaka, in the first section, he made it very clear, by knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. By knowing the cause, all the effects become known as it were. That means effect need not be known separately, because effect does not have independent existence. But knowing the cause is as well as knowing the effect. Therefore, by knowing Brahman, the whole Jagat becomes known as it were. For which he used a prakriya, karanakarya prakriya, or can say adhyaropa apavada prakriya, or srishti prakriya, you can say, using this method of unfoldment, he made it clear. What did he say for that? This jagat, which is a constituent of living and non-living things, mobile and immobile beings, this whole jagat has come into existence from that Brahman. Therefore, the whole jagat is karyam, Brahman is the karanam. And there is no distance between karana karyam. Similarly, there is no distance between Brahman, the karanam, and the jagat. You say this Brahman, existence of karanam is the existence of the karyam. Therefore, existence of Brahman is the existence of universe. Therefore, what Brahman is the existence of universe. If Brahman is the existence of universe, what is Brahman now? Pure existence. Brahman is pure existence. What is pure existence? Pure existence is that which lends existence to this jagat in the form of nama-rupas. So what is Brahman? Sat, the pure existence. So what is jagat now? Pure existence plus nama rupa is equal to jagat. Jagat minus nama rupam is equal to pure existence, the sat. Is it clear now? Therefore, nama rupam, nama rupani, the names and forms do not have independent existence outside of existence. Therefore, what we have said now, the pure existence is not dependent, which is one. Pure existence being the existence of the universe in the form of many nama rupas. Pure existence is one. Pure existence is eternal. Pure existence is all pervasive, and pure existence is independent. Satyam, isn't it? Therefore, this pure existence pervades everything. What now? Pure existence is in fact fullness. It pervades everything, it is fullness also. With reference to universe, there is no other fullness other than existence. Therefore, what is this pure existence? Therefore, we say pure existence is Brahman, when we say the existence is independent, jagat is dependent, but the whole jagat is nothing but pure existence, Brahman. Brahman, the sat, the satyam. This pure existence is what? Also fullness. Isn't it? Pure existence fills everything, pervades everything. And pure existence is fullness. with reference to the Jagat, and his pure existence alone is what? The Brahman is not the Jagat, but the Jagat is nothing but pure existence, Brahman. Now, what is this pure existence? This pure existence is not available for objectification. You can never know pure existence as an object of knowledge. Pure existence has to be understood only as the subject of knowledge, as the knower. Therefore, what is that knower? Pure existence is not knowable as an object of knowledge. It is to be known as subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is the knower. Therefore, knowing who the knower is in fact arriving at what pure existence is, what Brahman is. So Brahman, the existence of the universe, fullness with reference to the universe, is available for recognition only as the knower. If it is available for recognition only as the knower, as the subject of knowledge, where is it available for recognition? Not anywhere else, only in the mind. Pure existence pervades everything. It is everywhere, but even though pure existence is everywhere, pure existence cannot be seen or known through any senses because it's not an object of knowledge. Is it clear now? Because when you say pure existence available for recognition only as the knower, then we immediately think of what? You know, Bhagavan is living only here, not elsewhere. We have to remember that also pure existence is everywhere. Everywhere it pervades everything. But for recognition, it is available only in the mind. That was said in the last mantra of the first section, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam. It's available for recognition on its own mind. And when you understand that pure existence which is available for recognition as a subject of knowledge, as the knower, is none other than pure knowledge or pure consciousness or pure awareness. So what is Sat now? Sat is Chit. Isn't it? Pure existence is pure consciousness. And here the question will come, how do I understand the pure existence is pure consciousness? Isn't it? You have to understand all these objects of knowledge, all the objects of knowledge are inert in nature. What are all the objects of objects of knowledge are? All these objects of knowledge are Nama Rupani, names and forms. And they're all inert in nature. Inert in nature means they do not have the capacity to reveal their existence, presence. Even though all the Nama Rupas are pervaded by consciousness, isn't it? Still, pervaded by existence, they are inert in nature, they do not have the capacity to reveal their existence. Therefore, what? They become existent only when they shine after something else. All these objects, all these effects which constitute the Jagat, they have the knowability. No? See, they have the existence only if they have knowability. Means what? Only when they become known. If the objects are not known, even if they are existent, they are as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Had to go step by step. All these Nama Rupani, all these objects, all these effects which constitute the whole Jagat, even though they are pervaded by consciousness, they are as good as non-existent if they do not come to light, if they are not known. Ariyappadatha porul irundalum illada madri. isn't it? Therefore, the objects of knowledge, all these objects do not have their existence if they are not known. Even if they, even though they are existent, they are as good as non-existent if they are not known. Therefore, all these existence of objects depends upon the, or you can say presupposes the knowability of the objects. It's clear now? Existence of objects is dependent on what? Their knowability, isn't it? Only when their known object becomes an existent object. If the object is not known, isn't it? It is as good as non-existent. So the object has the status of being an existent only when it is known. It's very important. Please remember this. This very, very first step. An object, an effect, an namarupa, even though it is pervaded by consciousness, the pure existence, it is inert in nature. Namarupa is inert in nature. It does not have the capacity to reveal its existence by itself. Therefore what? It becomes, even if it is existent, it is as good as non-existent if it is not known. Isn't it? Therefore, for an object to have the status of being existent, it has to be known. Isn't it? Therefore, the existence presupposes the knowability. Isn't it? Therefore, for the object to be known, it is dependent on the knower. Isn't it? Knower is none other than consciousness. Isn't it? So knower is consciousness, therefore. But consciousness is not dependent on anything else to be known. Anything else to come to light. Therefore, what? We are going to see later on, other mantras like Ratatra Surya Bhati will become very clear. So here we say this consciousness does not depend upon any namarupa, mind, or sense powers, or the external objects of knowledge to reveal its existence. Consciousness is self-revealing, therefore it is self-existent. Why consciousness is self-existent? Consciousness does not depend upon anything else for its existence. Why? Because it is self-existent. Why it is self-existent? Because it is self-revealing. Is it clear now? Self-revealing. Because it is self-revealing, it is self-existent. Because it is self-existent, it is independent, does not depend upon something else for its existence. Therefore, what do we understand? Existence of the object is existence of the knower. Isn't it? Existence of the knower is existence of consciousness. Therefore what? Pure existence is pure consciousness. Is it clear now? Next step also you have arrived at. Pure existence is pure consciousness. Therefore, you should say what now? If you say pure existence is pure consciousness, we should also say pure consciousness is pure existence. Isn't it? Sat is chit, chit is sat. There's no other existence apart from pure consciousness. If there's no other existence which lends existence to the ocean other than H2O, existence of the ocean is H2O. Similarly, consciousness is the existence of the universe. Is it clear? Now, we say, next step also we saw, in that, the next mantra, second mantra, which we read last class, isn't it? That mantra says what now? In that consciousness alone, what? That consciousness is consciousness alone, everything exists. We saw that. The repeat mantra, Upanishad repeats the mantra. And here one important thing you have to understand. How do we understand the universe? Isn't it? There are three things. One is Jivatma, another one is Paramatma, and the third one is Anatma. Jivatma, Paramatma, Anatma. There is a, you know, the triangle of three things. Jivatma, when you say Jivaha. Paramatma, when you say Ishwaraha. Anatma, when you say it is Jagat. Is it clear now? It seems the three things, but what does Upanishad is expecting to do? What does Upanishad do? It has to reduce all the three into one. So first, what it does is, Jivatma, the Jivaha, and Ishwaraha, the Paramatma, actually are one and the same. It has to say that. First, let's talk about Jiva Ishwara Aikyam. Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, first it has to establish. How does Jiva Ishwara Aikyam is established? Now we saw, what is that? This helps us to understand. Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, when you say, Jivaha is equal to the self of an individual. Ishwaraha is what now? The selves of all the beings which constitute the universe. Or you can say self of the universe. Jagat. Isn't it? Ishwaraha is what? Paramatma means the self of all the beings and the self of an individual. Now we know, we already understood, the Sat, the existence, is nothing but Chit is very clear. And we also know what? Chit, the pure consciousness, is the Sat, the existence. Therefore, what happened now? They are not two different things, one and the same. Therefore, pure consciousness is the Satyam, the only, secondless, independent, all-pervasive, isn't it? Reality. Isn't it? Only, all-pervasive, eternal, independent reality. What is that? Pure consciousness. Therefore, this consciousness is a only, independent, all-pervasive, isn't it? All-pervasive reality, eternal reality, when you say, now we know the jiva, truth of the jivaha, isn't it? The self of the jivaha is pure consciousness. The self of the Ishwara also is what now? Pure consciousness. They're not two different things. How do we say the pure consciousness? Please understand now. The pure consciousness abiding in, obtaining in the upadis, jiva upadis. What are the jiva upadis? The physical body, the mind, the sense powers, the pranas, all this, sukshma, sthula, shadirani, isn't it? So, pure consciousness obtaining in the jiva sharidhi, jiva upadis, gets the name what? Jivaha, isn't it? Identified with the jiva upadis is called what? Jivaha. Then, same of consciousness, the Brahman, isn't it? Obtaining in Ishwara upadhi. What are the Ishwara upadhis? Three universes. Sukshma prapanchaha, sthula prapanchaha, karana prapanchaha. The causal universe, maya shakti, and subtle universe, and the gross universe. Same consciousness obtaining in two different upadis. Jiva upadis, isn't it? Jiva, body, mind is complex, is said to be jiva. The same consciousness obtaining in the Ishwara upadi, sthula, sukshma, karana, prapanchas, is said to be Ishwara, gets the names. two different names, Jiva and Ishvara. Isn't it? Really speaking, minus upadis, what do you get? Minus upadis. Consciousness plus Jiva upadhi is what? Body means complex is Jiva. Consciousness plus Ishvara upadhi is what? Ishvara. Minus upadis is what? Consciousness. So these are Jiva consciousness and then Ishvara consciousness? No. They are one and the same. Is it clear now? Therefore, only the standpoint of upadis, the Jiva Ishvara yor madhye bedaha. The distance, difference between Jiva and Ishvara is because of what? The upadis. Isn't it? It's like what? The self of the wave and the self of the ocean is what? No. When you say the H2O from the standpoint of ocean is said to be Ishvara. H2O from the standpoint of wave is said to be Jiva. Given the names, identified with the upadi. H2O identified with the wave gets the name wave. Jiva wave. Isn't it? H2O identified with the ocean gets the name Ishvara. Isn't it? All. Similarly, consciousness identified with manifesting in, I'll talk about later on, okay? Manifesting in, obtaining in the Jiva upadis, what now? Identified with the Jiva upadis gets the name Jivaha. Same consciousness obtaining in the Ishvara upadis, all the beings, isn't it? And identified with the Jagat is what now? Ishvaraha. Is it clear now? Therefore, what we say now? Consciousness is one and the same. Is it clear now? Tattvamasi Mahavakyam makes it very clear. What is that? Tvampada Lakshyartaha Chaitanyam. Tattvada Lakshyartaha is what now? Chaitanyam. Sat is what? Chit. Isn't it? Tattvada Lakshyartaha. Now you know that very well now. Tattvada Lakshyartaha. Isn't it? The implied meaning of the word Tat is what? The Sat, the pure existence, is pure consciousness. Tvampada Lakshyartaha is what now? Pure consciousness. Therefore, what now? Jiva and Ishvaraha are not two different things, one and the same consciousness. What happened now? Jiva Ishvarayo Raikyam Sanjatam. Understand now? Jiva Ishvara Aikyam about. This is what? Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam. Say that now? Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam. Aikya Samanadhi Karanyam means what? They are one and the same. Jiva is not different. Ishvara is not different. Minus upadis. What is the self of the Jiva and self of the Ishvara? One and the same. Consciousness. Is it clear now? So Jiva Atma is nothing but Parama. Atma. Isn't it? What do we say now? There is only Atma. Is it clear now? Only Atma. We have got what we have resolved, both Jiva and Ishvara, upadi names, as one Atma, Paramatma. Is it clear now? One Atma now. We do not two now. Jivatma, Paramatma are not there. Only one Atma. What is Atma? All pervasive consciousness, the existence. Is it clear now? Now, we have one more thing, what now? Anatma, Jagat, isn't it? We have to resolve next now. Atma and Anatma, we have two now. Still, we resolve Jiva in Paramatma. We have still have what now? Atma and Anatma, Jagat, isn't it? Jagat is Anatma. So, what is Anatma? What is Atma? Here, Atma is pure consciousness, the existence. What is Anatma? Anatma is just, Jagat is just the Nama Rupani, names and forms. Atma is what? It's like saying, Atma is H2O, ocean, isn't it? The Nama Rupa is what? Name and form ocean alone is Anatma. Isn't it? Like that here, the Atma is consciousness, Anatma is Jagat. What is Jagat here? Nama Rupa. Name and form. Is it clear now? Later on we have to say, hey, Atma, the consciousness, the existence, is not different on Anatma, the Jagat, Nama Rupani. The Nama Rupani are different on Atma, the consciousness, whereas these Nama Rupani, actually what now? Actually they do not have existence at all with themselves. They cannot be counted as a second object other than the Atma. Like you can't count water one, wave or the ocean is number two. You can't count a second thing, isn't it? You can't say gold is one. How many things are there? If we ask showing a chain, if you say there is one gold, second thing is chain. If you say you are wrong. Know why you are wrong? Because gold alone has countability. Chain does not have countability. Why? Chain is not a second thing. For the chain to be counted as a second object, it should have what now? Independent existence. They remove the gold, then chain does not have independent existence. Therefore what? It will disappear. Therefore, chain does not have countability. Therefore, what you have to say? Chain is nothing but gold. Gold alone appears in the form of chain. And you say, you have resolved chain in gold. Resolved the ocean in H2O. No furniture in the wood. So, entire Nama Rupa, all these living, non-living, mobile, immobile beings, sentient, insentient beings are nothing but Chaitanyam Brahma. Is it clear now? You resolve Jagat in what? Consciousness. Isn't it? Now, where is Jagat? Jagat is Brahma. What is Jiva? Jiva is Brahma. So what happened now? We are reduced now. Jagat is resolved in Brahman. Something, isn't it? Mithya. This is what now? This is Badha Samanadhi Karanyam. Badhayam Samanadhi Karanyam. Badhayam Samanadhi Karanyam means what? You have negated the universe as something mithya, which does not have independent existence outside of Satyam. And Jagat is nothing but Brahman. Ocean is nothing but H2O. Like that what? This Jagat is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, just pure existence. You have negated, isn't it? Is it clear now? There is no Jagat. Where is Jagat? There is no Jagat. Other than Jagat is nothing but Brahman. When you say, where is the Jagat? Independent of Satyam. Is it clear now? Now you reduce that also in consciousness. Like that, first you have to establish Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. Thereafter you establish Jagat Ishvara Aikyam. You will say all afterwards, all that is there is only Brahma Chaitanyam. That Chaitanyam Brahma, Aham Asmi. That has to be understood, isn't it? For which one has to do Shravanam continuously, and one has to, the Shravanam will take care of the Mananam, and after Mananam, Atmavare Drashtavyaha Mantavyaha Nididhyasitavyaha. It is not that overnight business, isn't it? We have many steps now. Is it clear now? Therefore, what was the second mantra? What is that? The second mantra we saw last class. What is said there? We have to see. Then we go to the third mantra. Now, Upanishad, in the previous verse, previous section, it talked about what? Sat, isn't it? And at the end of the mantra, what did it say? That Sat is Chit, consciousness. Now, what is Chit now? Chit is the consciousness is the reality self-obtaining in the Jiva Upadhi, and the same consciousness alone abides in the Jagat Ishwara Upadhi also. Isn't it? That consciousness, therefore what you have to say, not now, first in the previous mantra it said, all the objects have their be existence, exist in Brahman the existence. Now, Upanishad changed the existence word to consciousness. Now it is saying, the entire universe is in that Brahman, the existent, which is consciousness. In that consciousness alone, all of them exist. Is it clear now how it presents? Look at this. Yadarchimate. Yadarchimate.
Yadarchimate.
Archimate.
Archimate.
Archimate is now Archimate, means what? Archish light. I told you last class, it's, I'm repeating the mantra purposely to make it very clear, because these mantras you have to, I told you every mantra somehow becomes a Mahavakyam. Isn't it? Archimat, Archish is light, Archimat is that which has light. That which has light means the, not the consciousness, not the light. Consciousness is like the light. How the light with reference to opaque object is self-luminous, is self, it is independent. It brings to light, it lends light to existence to the opaque objects by bringing them to light. Similarly, the consciousness which is self-revealing, you know, consciousness is not dependent on anything else to come to light, isn't it? To be known. To be known, you are not dependent on anything else. It's not dependent on anything else, isn't it? Therefore, it's self-revealing. Because it's self-revealing, it is self-existent. If that which depends upon something else to come to light is what? Dependent, isn't it? Whereas that which is self-revealing is what? Independent. Therefore what? Self-existent. Consciousness is self-revealing, therefore self-existent. Therefore it says what now? That consciousness, anubhyaha anuhu, isn't it? Subtler than the subtlest, smaller than the atom. And in that consciousness alone, he says what? Why? Because a smallest also is an object of knowledge, biggest also is an object of knowledge. Any object which has adjectives, small, smaller, smallest, big, bigger, biggest, subtle, subtler, subtlest, gross, grosser, grossest, any adjective is what? Adjectives alone have what? Now these degrees of comparison are applicable only for adjectives. Any adjectives are possible only for objects of knowledge. So all the objects of knowledge which can be described, which are describable now through using adjectives, they are dependent on what? The knower. Whereas the knower, the con are dependent. Therefore what? Always object of this knowledge is subtler than the object of knowledge. And knower consciousness is much subtler than the object of knowledge. However big the object is, still it is what? No, consciousness is bigger than the biggest object also, because object is dependent. Smallest, subtlest object also is dependent on the knower consciousness. Bigger, biggest object also is dependent on conscious, the knower consciousness to be known. To be known, thereby to have existence. To have the status of being an existent. Is it clear now? Therefore, what is subtler than the subtlest, bigger than the biggest? You say, only consciousness. Yada archimate anubhyaha anuhu. In that consciousness alone, now Upanishad has gone what now? To consciousness is Brahman. Isn't it? What is Brahman now? Consciousness. What is consciousness? Existence of the universe. What is consciousness? The pure existence. Isn't it? In that alone, yasmin lokaha, say now, lokaha, all the worlds, nihitaha, then not only the worlds stand for anatma, lokinaha stands for many jivas, inhabitants, the indwellers, the residents of the lokas, or what? Lokinaha. Lokinaha stands for, the word lokinaha implies all the jivas, sentient beings. And lokaha stand for all the inert anatma. Isn't it? All the worlds and the all of them. In that Brahman alone, they are all located, they are all placed. They do not have existence outside of consciousness. The existence. Now, tadu, ye tadu, aksharam, brahma. So that Brahman, the consciousness, is none other than ye tadu, this Atma. Tadu stands for, when you say, the truth of the entire universe, the consciousness obtaining the existence. Pure existence is pure consciousness, which obtains in the entire jagat, is none other than etad, this Atma. Isn't it? Etad means eshaha here. This Atma, what is it? This self, the consciousness obtaining in, isn't it? Satta, which obtains in the entire universe, which is consciousness, is what? Nothing but this consciousness obtaining in the jiva. Why it has to say this here? That is why this. Tad etad. Isn't it? Tad etad. What is that? Imperishable consciousness. That Brahman is what? Nothing but this Brahman. This is that consciousness. Brahman, the consciousness obtaining in the entire universe, is nothing but consciousness obtaining in this upadis. That is what is Aksharam Brahma, imperishable, limitless reality. And he says that alone is what now? Saha. Saha means what again? Same Atma. You have to understand here. Sapranaha. Isn't it? Pranaha. A prana also is what? Pranaha. Tad. Vak. Manaha. All of them are nothing but, see, in fact, consciousness obtains in every organ, every cell. Everywhere it is there, isn't it? Everything is consciousness only. But at the same time, everything is consciousness, but everything has to become what? Object of knowledge. And he says, tad, yetat, satyam, that alone is the reality, tad amritam, that alone is what? Immortal, eternal, imperishable reality. Thereafter he says, tad vedhavyam somya vidhi. Now vedhavyam actually literally means it has to be known. It has to be known. Vedhavyam. Vedhavya, you know, the tavya pratyaya comes, it's a must be known. Should be known. That is what is to be known. Nothing else. When you have to say tad vedhavyam vidhi somya. Oh my dear student, may you know that which is to be known, which alone has to be known. Has said very clearly. Why? If you ask me the question initially, what is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? So he has given the answer now. May you know that Brahman. What is that Brahman? The reality. What is that reality? Isn't it? Satyam reality. Satyam Brahma. What is Satyam reality? Which is free from time limitation, which exists always, which is eternal, isn't it? Which is immortal, subject to any change. That reality, what is that? Which is the existence of the entire cosmos, which lends existence to the entire universe. That reality which lends existence to the everything is the existence of the universe. That existence of the universe is nothing but pure consciousness. Therefore, that Brahman, which is pure existence, of which is the existence of the universe, is pure consciousness. That may you know. I've already told you, it is available only as subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, it has to be known only in the mind, in the guha. What is Brahman has been explained. Where is it available for recreation also has been explained. Now what is your job? You have to search for it in the mind. What is that has been said? How is it has been said? Where is it has been said? Now you have to know. Understand? See, Upanishad study is a very, very serious study. Unless people are very, really up for this, people can't attend these classes. There is no seriousness. It is not for fun. One of our Swamiji used to say, Vedanta study is not, you can have some fun in Vedanta class, but you can't come for fun and have some class. He always says this. Of course we socialize. Of course we meet. We wish each other. We are together. We care for each other. Of course, only in this Upanishad understanding, we definitely care for each other. Understand? Real sense. And all these things we will cultivate naturally. We very genuinely will cultivate. Because we see the genuine reason behind everything. Isn't it? He used to say it's like, it's a hobbyish, amateurish, a casual approach. No, he'll say. He is very serious study, he said. That's why it is Upanishad, how Upanishad so much it repeats. Understand now? Very, it repeats. Now, therefore, how it should be known for that Upayaha. What is it now? Upayaha is given. Upayaha means what? Means. The Upaya. Now, Brahma Jnanaya, now we can say Brahma Jnanaya, Ramaya, Krishnaya taught you, isn't it? Brahma Jnanaya, Brahma Jnanartham, Upanishad, Upayam Vadati. Upanishad reveals means, the method, isn't it? Upayam. Kimartham Upayam Vadati? Brahma Jnanaya, Brahma Jnanartham, Upayam Vadati. It gives a means of recognizing, knowing, understanding, ascertaining what that Brahman is. Isn't it? Therefore he says, and this means of gaining the Brahma Vidya is likened to an archery, which I introduced last class. An archery involves three things. What are they? Bow. Don't say the one who pulls the bow, okay? The bow, arrow and target. Only three things. And here, the target to be hit, the target to be really shot is what? Attained, reached is Brahman. And the arrow is the mind, you can say, or the, I can say, jiva. Okay? Jiva. Jiva means you don't need to really go think of consciousness here, the mind. Okay? Mind. Why? Because there's no mind minus consciousness, isn't it? Mind minus consciousness means what? It has no meaning. That's what you always understood, isn't it? The individual. One who has aham buddhi in dehatma. I sense the body mind is complex because of the identity with the body mind is complex. One who thinks I am a limit, the one who entertains the thought, the notion as what? I am a limited being. Isn't it? If the mind is not there, do you have any problem? That is when in the night time, when you not only night time, day time also, even the class also, morning, early morning also, you fall asleep, is there any problem? Whenever you fall asleep, there is no notion. The notion is not that you are free. It is not the body. Really speaking, body does not cause a problem. When you are awake, in waking state, your back pain is there, like Shivajinama had very severe back pain. Some problem is there, or some other problem is there, then you have some problem. It's not very, not a very big problem, isn't it? You stay home and rest. Really, when is the problem? The thought is there, that is a problem. What is the thought? The notion. Our whole problem is only the notion. What is the notion? I am small. I am insignificant, I am insecure, I am unhappy, I am an individual, isn't it? I am a limited being. That notion is there only when there is identity with the body mind complex. For the identity to be there, is it the consciousness which is the truth which obtains in the body mind complex? The consciousness alone makes the body sentient. The body sentiency is borrowed from consciousness, really speaking. So consciousness, what now, gives sentiency to the body, existence to the body, obtaining in this body mind complex, isn't it? Identified with the body mind complex gives the name jiva, I told you. Isn't it? Now when you say jiva means, where is it sitting, the jivatva, in the notion? Isn't it? Mind is off, no problem. Mind is up, the problem is up. Is it clear now? If the mind is not there, really speaking, okay, when the mind goes off, what happens within the body? Does the body cause any problem? No. Because without mind, body has no meaning, isn't it? Body is as much non-existent. It is not known. Then the jagat all doesn't cause any problem. Your own body is part of the jagat, cannot cause any problem to you. Isn't it? Jagat is as good as non-existent. Body is as good as non-existent, which is part of the jagat. Nothing is there, so there's no problem. This notion can be there only when the mind is up, isn't it? Therefore, the jiva is the what now? The mind is the mind, isn't it? The waking state mind, okay? You can't say in deep sleep state mind has to know Brahman. One has to be up. You should know you are. Therefore, whenever I say, when we talk this, the arrow, what is that which has, wherein the recognition of the reality being the knower has to take place, isn't it? Recognition has to take place. Where should it take place? Only in the mind. As what? As the thought. So mind should be what? Up or should be asleep? It should be up, isn't it? Therefore the waking state, the mind in the waking state, you can't say in deep sleep state I had darshan of Bhagavan. That is your projection. You did not have Bhagavan, okay? You don't need to have darshan of Bhagavan in the deep sleep state. Bhagavan is never away from you. You had to be up to have darshan of Bhagavan. Understand now? If you sleep in the dream, people come and tell me, I had Bhagavan. Okay. I also did a lot of Krishna stories, my Bhagavatam stories. If Krishna came and gave me butter also. You know that. Listen to whole day Bhagavatam story and then you dream that Krishna comes and gives you butter. It's true or not? That hasn't solved any other problems, okay? So what I'm saying here, this jiva, jivaha is who now? The mind, isn't it? Here we have to take it as mind. See, mind is the arrow. Mind stands for arrow. So Brahman is the target. Now, for this arrow to reach the target, isn't it? Once the arrow goes and strikes the target, then what happens now? It remains stuck, isn't it? That means it becomes one with the arrow, has to become one with the target, Brahman. The mind has to become one with Brahman, the target, isn't it? So for the arrow to go and strike the target and become one with the target, it has to be what? It needs a support and help. What is that which helps the arrow to reach, isn't it, Brahman, and to become, so to reach the target and become one, that is the bow. Bow alone helps the target, arrow to reach the target. See, between arrow and Brahman, between arrow and the target, there's real distance. You know, the arrow has to travel. The travel is involved from one distance to other distance. It has to travel, it has to go, hit and become one with the target, isn't it? But here, between this mind and Brahman, the awareness, there's no time distance. Doesn't involve any time distance. There's no spatial distance. The distance is purely in the form of ignorance. Therefore, to resolve this distance caused by ignorance, what is the support it needs? Knowledge. You see, knowledge alone has to take place. Knowledge alone can help what? The arrow mind to reach the target Brahman by to remove the distance in the form of ignorance. Isn't it? For the knowledge to take place, what is that you need actually? You need to what? Contemplate upon the reality. To understand what the reality is, you should have done what now? To contemplate upon the reality, you should have clear understanding of what the reality is, for which you must have done mananam. Constantly, isn't it? Dwell upon what has been heard, for which you must have heard shravanam. Isn't it shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam? Isn't it? All these things. These are possible. Nidhyasanam is possible only if there is mananam. Mananam is possible only if there is shravanam. For shravanam, how will you understand by yourself? Isn't it? How will you get the shravanam? Therefore, Upanishad Patanam, Shastra Patanam is what? Is the Shastra Patanam, Shastra Adhyanam with the teacher, proper, isn't it? Is said to be what stands for, represented by the bow. Bow stands for Shastra study, which helps one to what, have Shravanam, Mananam, everything. To remove the distance caused by ignorance. Is it clear now? This is the archery. This is very popular example. As I said, the archery example is a very, very popular example. And here, this Upanishad study, in fact, represented by what now? Omkaraha. In this Omkaraha is taken. It represents the entire study of the Shastra. The Pranavaha. Is it clear now? Pranava is taken as a bow. So how does Pranavaha, Omkaraha, helps one's mind to attain Brahman? Is it? To attain Brahman in terms of knowledge. Isn't it? Mind does not attain Brahman, isn't it, traveling, or it not after some time. It has to attain Brahman in terms of knowledge. Therefore, how Pranava helps, you have to see here. Is it clear? We'll read the mantra now. Dhanur Grihitva. Upanishadam,
Upanishadam
Mahastram,
Mahastram.
Sorry, Aupanishadam Mahastram,
Aupanishadam Mahastram
Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam
Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam
Mahastram,
Mahastram,
Sharam,
Sharam,
Hyupasanishitam,
Hyupasanishitam,
Sharam,
Sharam,
Hyupasanishitam,
Hyupasanishitam,
Sandhaita,
Sandhaita,
Ayamya,
Ayamya,
Tadbhavagatena,
Tadbhavagatena,
Chetasa,
Chetasa,
Laksham,
Laksham,
Tadeva,
Tadeva,
Aksharam,
Aksharam,
Tadevaksharam,
Tadevaksharam,
Somya,
Somya,
Vidhi,
Vidhi,
Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam,
Dhanurgrihitvaupanishadam,
Mahastram,
Mahastram,
Sharam,
Sharam,
Hyupasanishitam,
Hyupasanishitam,
Sandhayita,
Sandhayita,
Ayamya,
Ayamya,
Tadbhavagatena Chetasa,
Tadbhavagatena Chetasa,
Tadbhavagatena Chetasa,
Tadbhavagatena Chetasa,
Lakshyam,
Lakshyam,
Tadevaksharam,
Tadevaksharam,
Somya Vidhi,
Somya Vidhi,
Okay. See, the word Vidhi, may you know one meaning, another meaning is what? May you strike also. May you strike the target, object. When you strike the object, target, may you know. Isn't it? Striking is knowing here. Isn't it? So, Soumya, O beloved student, Vidhi, may you know. What should you know here? He says, Tadeva. Tadeva Vidya. May you know only that. What is that? Aksharam. Imperishable reality. May you know only that imperishable reality. Tadeva Aksharam Vidhi. Hey, Soumya. Tadeva Aksharam Vidhi. May you know only that imperishable reality. It's enough. Why? Then whole Jagat is as known as it were. Whole Jagat becomes as good as known. Isn't it? Then you don't need to know afterwards. Then what is that to know? Isn't it? That you don't need to know at all. Really, it's a big, very, very assertive statement. How does the whole Jagat become known if I know Brahman? Because then there will not be anything else to be known. What is there for you to know about the Nama Rupa which do not have any meaning without, isn't it? Reality. It is as good as known. Then we will not feel the need to know about it. That's for what he says. Tad aksharam eva vidhi. May you know only that imperishable reality, Brahman. What is that? Lakshyam. That is your lakshyam. Isn't it? When you say lakshyam, lakshyate iti lakshyam. That which is focused on. Isn't it? Lakshyam. Isn't it? You are not distracted to so many things. Isn't it? Purushartha nischayaha. What is lakshyam? What is the jivita lakshyam? Jivanasya lakshyam. Isn't it? What is the purpose of living this life? What is the goal of this life? What is the ultimate end of this life? Is it very clear? First of all, if it is not clear, then you can't be focused. Okay? So, tadeva aksharam lakshyam vidhi. Isn't it? Tadeva aksharam lakshyam vidhi. Okay? May you know that to be your goal, that to be your end, that always keep in your focus that Brahman. Isn't it? It's a serious person, okay? Serious, mature people's lives here. We are talking about others, okay? Here, the Shastram is very keen. Tadeva aksharam lakshyam. Lakshyam vidhi. That is, Brahman is imperishable reality. Brahman is your lakshyam. That is your target. And that has to be what now? Vidhi, may you strike that Brahman. Imperishable, may you know that Brahman. Isn't it? How? He says, Danuhu Grihitva. Danuhu Grihitva. Now, Grihitva, Grinnati is the verb I taught you in the class. Remember, Grinnati means what? Holds. Now, Pustakam Grinnati. Isn't it? Purushaha Pustakam Grinnati. Mahila Pustakam Grinnati. Grinnati, please know the verb. I really seriously am teaching you the verbs also. Grinnati is holding. Isn't it? Grinnati is holding. So, Grihitva, isn't it? Having held, isn't it? Holding. Or you can say, Grihitva. Pick up the book. As is also what to say now? Grinnat, Grihitva. Isn't it? Having picked up. Having picked up, having taken, having held. All these words, actually meant by what? Grihitva. Isn't it? Yeduthu. Yeda yeduthu, Grihitva. Having taken what? Having held what? Dhanuhu. Dhanuhu Grihitva. Isn't it? Having taken the bow, having held the bow, what is this bow? Mahaastram. Mahaastram. See, astra means a weapon. What is a weapon? Shastram also means weapon. Astram also means weapon. But that which is thrown is astram. That which is held and then used for, isn't it? Is what? Shastram. A sword is a shastram. Bow, the arrow is astram. Isn't it now? See, with javelin, you should say no, no? Suppose spear, when you say thing, is what no? It's astram. Isn't it? Suppose, what about gun? The bullet goes and goes, isn't it? Astram. And which is thrown is astram. Which is held in hand is what? Shastram. So here astram, maha astram. Danuhu, you're holding the danuhu, but using the danuhu, what is sent is thrown, isn't it? Astram. It's a great astram, using which you throw something. Asyate iti astram. Astram, isn't it? This great weapon. Great weapon means what? There's no greater weapon than this. This is the best weapon. You have to, this is the best astram, isn't it? It is, you have to take. The bow is the great weapon, isn't it? You have to take. For what? To strike the target of Brahman. And what is this big astram here? Upanishadam. Upanishadam. Upanishadam means what? Upanishad means, you know, the Upanishad text. That which is the essence of Upanishads. Anything pertaining to Upanishad is said to be Upanishadam. Isn't it? Anything pertaining to Upanishad is said to be Upanishadam. Say that. Isn't it? Upanishadam. Suppose Brahma Vidya, I can say Upanishadi. Isn't it? Why? Pertaining to Brahma. Upanishad. So here Upanishadam here implies Omkaraha, Pranavaha. Isn't it? So but what is Omkaraha? Omkaraha, Pranavaha is said to be looked upon as the essence of the teaching of the Upanishads. That is why Om is very auspicious for us. Like Swasti, isn't it? Upanishad is, the Om is for us, it's taken as what? Even the sound symbol of the Lord. Upanishad. And Upanishadam Mahastram Grihitva. What is Upanishadam Mahastram here? Upanishadam is the Mahaastram. What is Upanishadam here? Omkaraha. Anything pertaining to Upanishad is Upanishadam. And here Upanishadam is Omkaraha. Isn't it now? So take this bow of Omkaraha. Take the bow of Omkara. You have to use this bow. Isn't it? For what? To make the arrow strike the target of Brahman. Isn't it? Upanishadam Mahastram is what? Dhanuhu. Isn't bow? Grihitva. Then, Sharam Sandhaita. Sharam Sandhaita. Sharam Sandhaita. Upasa Nishitam Sharam. Upasa Nishitam Sharam Sandhaita. Upasa Nishit Sharam means arrow. Sharaha is arrow. Like a master, like Ramaha, Krishnaha, Govindaha. Sharaha means what? Arrow. Sharam, objective. Isn't it? Sharam, Ambai. Isn't it? Sandhaita. May you fix that arrow on the string of the bow by pulling the bow. Sandhaita. May you pull the string of the bow, fixing that arrow. It must be said by one word, Sandhaita. What should be fixed there? Sharaha. Isn't it? What is that Sharaha? How should it be arrow? How should the arrow be? Should it be crooked? No. It should be straight. It should be blunt at the edge? No. It should be sharp. Arrow must be sharp and straight. So, humility, mind also must be what now? Sharp. Mind must be sharp means what? Ekagrata. Sharpness implies ekagrata. Chitta ekagrata. Sharpness of arrow arrow stands for mind, and the sharpness of arrow stands for the single pointedness of the mind, ekagrata. And then it should be straight also, it should be crooked. That stands for one straightforwardness, nobility, isn't it? Which implies the purity of the mind, which implies straightness of the arrow, stands for mental purity, which stands for straightforwardness of the person, which is implied by one's commitment to live a life of, which is brought about by one's commitment to live a life of values. Is it now? That what up he says that. He says sharam sandhaita. But that sharam, he says, nishi upasa nishitam. How does it become single pointed? How does it become focused? The focused attention, mind which is focused, is not distracted by so many things. Isn't it? Why it has to talk about upasa nishitam? Upasa here means upasanam. Upasanaya, isn't it? Upasanaya, sharpened. How does the mind of the arrow, isn't it, is sharpened by the practice of meditation. Practice of meditation, we are not simply sitting and doing something here. That also discipline life. And also what? This, by living a life of the karma yoga, and also with the prayerfully, worshipfully, with the japam, etc., becomes what now? You know what is, isn't it? Upasanam. And also, japa itself becomes what? Meditation, isn't it? That meditation makes the mind single-pointed. The distracted mind becomes single-pointed. Very important. Always it is there. Even if you have a single-pointed mind, if you do not know what is to contemplate on, still that single-pointedness of the mind is useless. Even if you know what is to meditate on, you are not focused, if you are not single-pointed, then also you are not able to place attention of the mind on that, then also it is useless. Isn't it? It is very important to know what is to focus on and also focused attention. Isn't it? Very important both. So he says here, upasa nishitam. Upasa nishitam sharam sandhayita. May you focus the mind which is pure and steady, isn't it? And then take the bow of Omkara, and you place the attention of your mind, which is already pure and steady, on that arrow, on that bow. Isn't it? Now, what is that now? Arrow is fixed on the string of the bow. So, mind has been fixed on the attention of the mind, which is pure and steady, which is distraction-free mind, which is focused on the Omkaraha. Is it clear now? What should go and hit now? The mind, the arrow has to go and strike the target, become one with the target. Similarly, this mind also has to become one with Brahman. Mind can never become one with Brahman. Mind has to recognize it's already being Brahman. Mind being one with Brahman, isn't it? So that has to take place now. Then I am ya. Tad bhavagate na chetasa. Okay, now ayamya tad bhavagate na chetasa. Tad bhavagate na chetasa ayamya. Isn't it? Ayamya. First you fix the arrow on the bow. Isn't it? Then what now? Ayamya. Isn't it? What do you fully know? The string of the bow has to be pulled. Isn't it? So no, ayamya. Pulling the string of the bow is like what now? Placing the, already have placed, and then you leave it. Isn't it? I mean, now the mind is contemplating on Omkaraha. omkaraha. Then you focus, where is the mind of? Tad bhavagatena chetasa. See, tad bhavagatena chetasa. No? Actually, I told you already about the straightforwardness, the purity, and sharpness. Sharpness stands for ekagrata, chitta ekagrata. First, arjavam. Isn't it? The straightness of the arrow stands for what now? Straightforwardness. I can say arjavam. And sharpness of arrow stands for ekagrata, single-pointedness. And now we say, tadbhavagatena chetasa means very clear about the end, purushartha nischayaha. Isn't it now? There's no doubt. Nothing can come and shake. Tadbhavagatena chetas means what? All the mind is completely focused on that Brahman alone. Mind being steady is impaired by ekagrata, not distracted. But now not a distracted, my mind is totally focused on its own goal. Tadbhavagatena chetas adve kuriyavachu. Tadbhavagatena chetas, the mind, with the mind which does not think, which does not see a second thing other than Brahman. Is it clear now? So, straightforwardness, arjavam. Now, the sharpness, ekagrata. Bhavagatena, chetas. Tad bhavagatam chetas means what? Purushartha nischayaha. Understand now? Now, it is totally focused on it. The mind does not think of everything else becomes what? Relative. Artha is relative, kama is relative. Isn't it? Dharma also is relative here. That is why the people who are two disciplinarians, isn't it? Dharma also is what now? See, without dharma comes where? First it has come now, as arjavam. Isn't it? Straightness. But here, with this mind is focused, this person has overcome all those things now. Isn't it? Disciplines are important, but disciplines are not the ultimate end. Without disciplines, ultimate end cannot be accomplished, but one does not live one's life just for disciplines. Isn't it? So here he is very focused. That bhavagatena chetasa, single point, chetasa, he says, then laksham aksharam tadeva vidhi, may you strike that imperishable Brahman with the arrow of mind, which is sharp and straight and focused. Isn't it? How what? That is, that in that imperishable Brahman, what does it mean? The whole mantra says, may you contemplate upon Omkaraha. Is it clear now? All four lines, only one sentence is said there. What is that? May you contemplate upon Omkaraha. This much only Upanishad says. Does not say how to contemplate on. Understand? That is Sampradaya. Isn't it? Then you have to understand now. Upasa nishitam sharam sandhayita. Aupanishadam pranavam omkaram dhanuhu grihitva. Upasa nishitam sharam manaha sandhayita. Tadbhavagatena chetasa ayamya. Isn't it? Ayamya tadeva aksharam lakshyam nahe saumya vidhi. Look at the Sanskritam of it. If you know Sanskritam, you would have seen the whole thing, what exactly Rishi says. Isn't it? Let me put it in Tamil once. What I said in, I tell it in Tamil once, okay? Omkaram ennum villai eduthu தூய நிலையான மனமென்னும் அம்பை அதில் பொருத்தி, அந்த அம்பில் அந்த இங்கிலீஷே வருது, அகே இங்கிலீஷ் கம் சம்ஸ்கிருதம் தமிழ் லெசன் கம், அந்த தனுவினுடைய ஸ்டிங்கை இழுத்து, ஸ்டிங் வருது, இழுத்து அந்த அழிவற்ற பரம்பொருளையிலேயே கவனத்தை வைத்து மனம் என்னும் அம்பை எய்துவாயாக. Isn't it? What does it mean here? May you contemplate upon Omkaraha. May you meditate upon Omkaraha. Is it clear now? How will you meditate upon Omkaraha if you do not know what Omkaraha is? So, we have to know what Omkaraha is. Understanding the meaning of Omkaraha itself will be what? Will help you what? Will become a meditation on Omkaraha.